It's just great. That's awesome. Our journey over the past while has been discovering a cure for heart disease. And I thought how appropriate this morning with the induction of Peter and Brina to their ministry here at First to talk about the reward of a servant heart. There are several aspects of service. There's community service. There's public service. There's private service. Yet to clarify this morning, we're going to look at godly service. You excited? Right on. I always have to have some kind of help or assistance when you know I talk about stuff like this. So look at this Pickles cartoon. I finally did it. I've been trying for days to get my legs into the lotus position. It's yoga. It wasn't easy, but I finally did it. Would you like me to call 911? Please! You know. Now that's service. We're going to look at a servant heart. A servant heart, first of all, is refreshing. It's refreshing. I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. This is a great verse of Scripture. Proverbs 11, 25. It says, a generous man will prosper. But it goes on and says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now, Peter and Brina, I think of you when I read that verse. Because you refresh others. And you always look refreshed. You do. Even standing here today, you look refreshed. I mean, people don't know it, but you've been looking after the grandkids all week. Late at night, middle of the night, they're crawling in bed. But you look refreshed! Well, this requires more. Refreshment requires more than hello in the hallway or sending a Christmas form letter to everybody. What this passage says is that if you want to refresh your life, you need to invest in another's life. You need to, in a sense, give away your life. You need to make deposits in other people. And it could be that you've pastored for 40 years in South Africa and then you've invested there. It's time to come to Canada and invest in other people's lives. Sound familiar? 40 years. I said, did I say 40? That's what I said, didn't I? I had the 40, right? Yeah. Anybody here have a bank account? Anyone? Come on. Come on, you have hands. We talked about this last week. How many of you are just a little bit scared now to have a bank account? You know? Yeah. Nonetheless. What if you just put one deposit in that bank account when you opened it? You would gain interest. Unless you lived a little bit south. But unlike an investment that you make in a bank, your connection with others won't grow by making just one deposit. You see, for any kind of refreshment, any benefit in your life, you must make regular deposits in other people's lives. I know of no greater joy than to invest in other people. I love seeing people involved in ministry. I enjoy seeing people use their spiritual gift. I even enjoy people getting credit that they deserve. I love that. Even if sometimes they don't deserve it, I love it. But I always wasn't like that. I had to learn that. John Maxwell, my mentor in leadership, said, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Peter and Brina, you both demonstrate such care and compassion in your heart. It's just there, and people know how much you care. And when we know how much a person cares about us, then we want to know what they give for us. You know, we don't care how much people know until they start caring about us. My first pastoral ministry, I really wasn't sure how a pastor was supposed to act, even really what a pastor was supposed to do. I thought I knew, but God definitely showed me in so many ways it wasn't what I thought. I was intent on what I was doing. We had a small church crusade, and these guys from Georgia came. you know. Georgia. His name was Larry, Pastor Larry King. Larry Davison. I'm Larry. I'm enthused about the gospel. Yeah. So what do you, really? This Monday, we started the crusade on a Sunday, and on the Monday evening, I was excited as a pastor. I mean, man, there were people coming through the doors of the church, bank presidents, doctors, lawyers, teachers. Man, it was a joy. I was just excited. Till Charlie walked through the door. Old fella, I didn't even know him. Hair with Brill Cream. How many of you know what Brill Cream is? Looking from your head, some of you just can't use it anymore. But, you know, Brill Cream. And he had some sort of a suit. And, you know, his suit, he had these orange flannel pants on. And he had this kind of, you know, it was a matching purple suit jacket. Like, it was just, it looked like he pulled that out of somewhere. And he walked in. And as he walked in, there was just dust all over the place, you know. And, whoo, man, he must have been at the farm. Tell you, he not the farmer, but he must have just been riding cattle or something, because, whew, you know. And he sat down in the service, and you could have seen, like, just in the pew, just boosh, people started moved away from him, you know. And after the service, Larry, Pastor Larry, said, "Hey, Pastor, come on over. This is the pastor here. He's going to visit you tomorrow in your home. Draw him a map of how to get there." I thought, what? But that's Georgia. So Charlie, he just kind of, I don't know how to draw a map, he said. And so I said, try and explain it where you get there. So I had to drive out of the town. And I was driving the next day. Driving, just me, driving out there. And I was thinking all the way, I'm just so tired about this. What am I doing this for? Just because Larry told me to do it, I'm driving out of town. Look at this guy. What? I'm tired. I mean, Joan that week had just given birth to Nathan, our firstborn. I mean, I was worn out. So I'm driving, and I'm thinking this as I'm driving. I don't want to be doing this. You know, Lord, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to see somebody, let alone somebody I don't care to go see. So I arrived at Charlie's home, found it. It was kind of a shack. It didn't really have much. I mean, it wasn't even painted on the outside. It just was wood. It was very small, tiny structure, in a sense. I rapped at the door. I did that to wake most of you up. Nothing. I tell you, I praise God. Right on. I said, "Thank you, Lord." I turned to leave. I was opening my car door, and all of a sudden, and there was Charlie, no shirt, no shoes, and I thought, no service. I mean, he only had shorts on, and his hair was all over the place, and he was just breathing. Sorry, I get out of breath when I have to move so quickly. Then he walked around, he turned, went, sat down. He didn't say anything else. Just opened the door, and it was wide open at this point. And so I walked in, young 24-year-old. I walked in, and there was Charlie. Went back to his chair, and he continued polishing his shotgun. Serious. The first words out of his mouth after he sat down were these: "I don't care for preachers much." So when I regained consciousness, that's what it felt like. I wanted the Lord to come right then and there. I gulped, and I just said, "God, you have to help me in this." I said, "Charlie, I agree with you. I don't care for them much either." He laughed. Next couple of hours were interesting, to say the least. I mean, Charlie even got up because he said, "Are you thirsty?" I said, "Yeah." "All right." He went to the sink and he grabbed a glass, rinsed it out, put some lemonade in it, and handed it to me. I tried my best not to sip that thing, but I kind of, "You know, Charlie, I was thinking, you know? Charlie, what about this?" You know? And I asked questions about his life, and you know what he answered about his life that day? You know what he said, that bachelor said to me? He said, "I really have no use for God, because you see, I'm never going to be perfect enough." And so I asked Charlie about his commitment to life. I said, how do you find life? He said, "Oh, you don't know what my life's like. I'm very alone. Nobody cares about me." So then I said to Charlie, I said, "There's one person who I know does care about you. And it ain't me." Charlie, at that point, preachers went up in the scale of things. He said, "Who?" I said, "Jesus. Because he died for you." Charlie accepted Christ that day. He asked Jesus in his heart. He said, "What do I do?" I said, "You just have to say, I'm not perfect and I'll never be perfect, God, but through you I can be." So that's what he did. Because I didn't know. I mean, I was only 24 and I've been through this before. And the hours unwound, and I sat there for a long time. And you know what? As I was driving back that day, I felt totally refreshed. I was excited about ministry again. And Charlie, he came to church probably about 2 Sundays after that. And then there was one last moment that he was in church, and that was when, at the end of that month, I stood at the front of the church at his funeral and was able to share about Charlie. You see, it can be a scary thing to have the Spirit of God really working in you. And Peter, I know, Peter and Brandon, I know that you realize that you can end up doing some things you never ever thought you would have done if it weren't for the Spirit of God. And if it weren't not for God, you would not be here. You would not be here. See, one is being in Canada to pastor. See, life in the Spirit can be dangerous for 1,000 reasons, not the least of which is your own ego, but yet it is definitely refreshing to your soul. And I tell you from experience, it is so much easier to allow God to use you in that process than fight it all the time with your own way. Servant heart, the reward is refreshing. But the reward of a servant heart is also blessing. Now I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Just that, I tell you, that word, blessing, you know I love that word. You hear me say it often enough. Hey, blessing. 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 I was talking to a lady, she phoned from immigration a couple of weeks ago, talking to me about Peter and Brina, And before I hung up the phone, I said to her, I said, "What blessing?" And I realized I said that. And she said, "Thank you." You know, she knew we were at church, and, you know, it was great. I love that word blessing. Blessing, according to Webster, is a prayer imploring happiness upon another person. How many love to bring happiness to other people? Christmas. I love Christmas. Blessing. You seek to purchase a gift to make somebody happy. Or, you know, you give something to your spouse that you want. But, I mean, you know, makes you happy. But I think of birthdays. I think gathering to bring happiness to another person at a birthday. We celebrated birthdays last week and we sang out there. It's great. I think of weddings. Okay, enough about that. But blessing. How many of you understand? You are blessed today. I'm blessed. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God's book, eternal life, because I have accepted Christ my Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he paid the price for me. I know I can't help myself. He's the only sacrifice that's acceptable as payment for my sins. And I know because of that I am blessed. Are you blessed today? Yes. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Whoa, you are. But so many people stop there. Stop there. They have their little fish symbol bumper sticker and their Jesus pin. And that's all they got. Never really help anybody else unless it's to benefit them. Never really do anything for anybody else. They just join the, well, Christian Bless Me Club. Bless me, bless me. A salvation, you see, is not by works. You don't have to work for it. It's by grace. That part's a free gift. What a blessing. But try this. Ever say anything nice to anybody when you really just didn't want to? See, Peter penned these words, instructions from the Lord well. He said, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you are called so that you may inherit a blessing. If you want to be blessed, you got to bless. I mean, how easy it is to give a blessing to someone you enjoy being with, somebody just enjoy being around. But what about someone, the Charlies of the world that you just don't like? Someone who disturbs you, maybe even a stranger. What about that person? See, these words really are not for the faint-hearted. Like, do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. See, the Lord understands this firsthand. Jesus was mocked, he was beaten, he was insulted, says the Bible, and yet he did not defend himself. And Jesus said, follow me. Do what I do. When someone has evil intent or insults, how do you respond? My Bible says, respond with blessing them. And when you bless someone, you inherit a blessing. You receive a blessing. I got a brief moment of time here because we are serving a light lunch. So I hope you didn't put anything in the oven. I share this true story about Shively Christian Church and their pastor, Dave Stone. I have to tell you the story. You're going to think it's Dave Stoned. But the Christian church was fiercely competitive with their neighbor, Shively Baptist Church, and everything, especially softball. I mean, Well, one week, Pastor Stone, he spoke to the youth about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and then he made the lesson stick even more. He divided the kids into groups, and he said, okay, now go out, find a practical way to serve. He said, I want you to be Jesus in the city for the next 2 hours. If Jesus were here, what would he do? What would you do? Figure out how Jesus would help people. So 2 hours later, the youth gathered, Pastor Stone's living room, report how they'd served, and one group did 2 hours yard work for someone. Another group delivered ice cream treats to several widows in the church, and third group visited a church member in the hospital, gave him a card, and another group went to a nursing home, sang Christmas carols, middle of August, you know. One resident remarked that it was the warmest Christmas she could remember, you know. Fifth group reported what they had done, and everybody just groaned. Oh. Because this group made their way to their arch rival, the Baptist Church, where they asked the pastor if he knew somebody who needed help. They went to a home of an elderly lady who needed yard work done, and for 2 hours they mowed grass, they raked the yard, they trimmed hedges. When they were ready to leave, the lady called the group together and thanked them for their hard work. She said, I don't know how I could get along without you kids from the Baptist Church. You always come to my rescue. Pastor Stone was aghast. And he said, Shively Baptist? I sure hope you set her straight and you told her you were from Shively Christian Church. And the kids looked at Pastor Stone and said, why? We didn't think it mattered. We need to bless other people. Need to get out of this mode, me, 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 me. And when that happens, 1 Peter 3:8, you want nothing more than harmony, unity, sympathy. You express nothing but that. God wants to use you to help somebody else. If he didn't have any purpose for you, he would have gotten you out of here already. Peter and Brina, the Lord brought you here as a blessing, and we hope you are blessed to be here. You see, you all do the work of real ministry, the real work of the ministry. You're disciples of Christ. You're ambassadors for Him. You all have your own little Paul, but some of you, it's a backyard fence. Others of you, you got your Raiders tickets. Some of you have desks. God has created you to be a blessing in His name. Look at this video. It'll help you understand. You gotta turn the volume up on this so they can hear it. Turn the volume. Okay, that was interesting. See, that's how you take back a blessing. Mm-hmm. Well, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
See, being a blessing? I'm ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I want harmony in my life. I want to be a blessing. See, most people that need help are not in this building today, but you know some of them, and you carry God's peace, you carry God's power and God's joy, and the blessings of God are on your life, and people are going to want what you've got. People are going to want it. When nothing seems to shake you and the world's falling apart and you're just trusting God, they're going to want it. You seem to be happy all the time. It's almost sickening. People are going to want it. I mean, you went through some difficult stuff, and I've went through that stuff. I'm not happy or peaceful. How can you do that? People just want it. You know what I think the world is hungry for right now more than anything else? I think the world is hungry more than anything else for stability. Amen? I think it's time to introduce the world stable Christians. That's what the world needs. Mature Christians who demonstrate, no matter what's happening around them, stability. There's takers in the world. There's givers in the world. I spent a lot of my life being a taker. I mean, I made everybody responsible for my joy. And that's why I got married. Jo and I got married, and she was supposed to make me happy. And I realized that that's not right. That's why the divorce rate just jumps high. Do you know that because you give people the responsibility, you got to make me happy. I'm here today to tell you that your own personal joy is your responsibility. It's not somebody else to get the job done and keep you happy. That's your job. But it is your job, your God-ordained job, to bless other people. If you get up every day and say, what can I do for you? How can I be a blessing to my spouse? What can I do to just bless my pastor? I threw that in, you know. What can I do for my friends? How can I be a blessing to those people that I work with, Lord? Make me a blessing to not only those who bless me, but also those who hurt me. You'd want to talk about some radical changes in your life. That'll happen. That's when God, He just totally radically changes your life, and that's what He's looking for. But then we often say, well, then who's going to take care of me? God? Have you heard of Him? We miss out on the best that God has for us because we spend our lives trying to take care of ourselves. But there are people out there you can bless. And you are blessing. Don't get me wrong. I know that some of you go out there and you intentionally just put stuff on people's drop them on their cement steps here. I'm just going to leave this as a blessing. I don't really want them to know. There are those of you who just, you put an envelope in somebody's box and it's got cash. You do those things. You help people with their water heaters, shingles, put doors on home. You purposely do things to bless other people, and God says, well done to you. Because every time you're doing that, you inherit a blessing. You inherit a blessing. I want to close with this video, this last one, and then we'll get on with what we need to. But show this, please. That's the reward of a servant heart. Let's pray. This morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you today, first thing I'm going to ask you is, are you feeling refreshed today? Are you feeling refreshed? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just kind of feeling like your life's in turmoil. Maybe you're feeling like, things just aren't coming together. Maybe you're feeling anxiety, as we talked about this weekend with Ken. Maybe you're not feeling really like going out of your way to bless somebody else. And maybe even right now you have in your mind somebody you definitely don't want to bless. I'm going to ask you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you willing to say today, God, Father, I've held on to myself too long. It's time for me to be a blessing to other people. So I feel refreshed, and so I inherit that blessing. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand if you're saying that to him today. Just lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord, just lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands going up. God sees them. Father, this morning, this is really difficult, in a sense, to be servants, because, Lord, the world, in a sense, is anything but. Lord, there are glimpses of it. Lord, there are little areas and little pockets where we see blessing. But Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we as your people would be able to bless and refresh those who need it the most. And God, it may be people right in this sanctuary right now. It may be people outside of here. God, it may be people that are next door to us. It may be even people at our home. God, may we be servants. We know you came not to be served, but to serve. And you said, do likewise. God, we want to do that. We want nothing more than to be your servants, ambassadors for you. And we release that power upon us as your church to be able to do that. Not just here, but with others, maybe even other churches. God, we pray that we would move in that direction and we would do it with the right heart. A servant heart. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Ken, please come.
It is indeed a privilege for me to be here today with you. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Ken Thiessen. I am the regional minister for Canadian Baptists of Western Canada. I live in Regina, and I've been here this weekend doing a workshop, and I have been refreshed as I've been with some of your people. It's been an absolutely fantastic weekend, and it's a privilege for me to connect with you today and be a part of your worship experience. This is a special day in the life of your congregation as you formalize and affirm what it already is your reality that Pastor Peter and Brina have moved here from South Africa to be a part of your ministry. And it's possible that some of you have never been a part of an induction service and you don't know what this is all about and you don't know what you're supposed to do. Well, we're going to have a bit of an exchange of commitments. And Pastor Peter is going to make a commitment of you and have some questions of you. And we want you that are a part of First Baptist Church, Prince Albert, to also make a commitment to Pastor Peter and to ask some questions of him. And then if there are people who are visiting here who are not a part of this congregation on a normal basis, you'll have an opportunity to participate as well. So if you watch the screen, there'll be, I think, clear prompting up there when it's your time to participate in this act of induction. And I'm going to call Peter and Brina up here. I didn't tell Peter I was going to do this. One of the things I appreciate about Canadian Baptist of Western Canada is that we recognize that ministry is a team effort. I am here today. My wife is not physically present with me, but she is very much with me in spirit in the ministry that I do. And so I know that Peter and Brina function as a team. And God has called not just Peter to be a part of the ministry here, but Brina, you as well. And I want to make sure that we affirm your part in this ministry as well, and that the people of this church, which I already know they know that you and affirm you as a part of this ministry as well. So, having said that, we have come together today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the head of the church, to induct Pastor Peter into the ministry of this church and congregation. Pastor Peter, it's our belief that the calling into the Christian ministry and the particular service within it is both of God and the church. It is an inward constraint and outward calling, answering to each other. Are you persuaded that you are truly called to this particular ministry to seek to fulfill the purposes of God among the people of the First Baptist Church in Prince Albert?
I am so persuaded.
Devin, I'm going to ask you to stand. Are you persuaded that Pastor Peter is truly called to this particular ministry according to the will of Christ and the custom of this church?
I am.
Will you commit yourself to support Peter as a partner in counsel and prayer, encouraging the use of his gifts in the ministry for the sake of Christ's church?
The Lord be my helper, I will.
Members of First Baptist Church, are you persuaded that Pastor Peter is the person whom God has brought into this time and place to be a pastor among you and a leader in your ministry? Will you please indicate your positive response by standing to your feet? Because you, Pastor Peter, and you, the people of this church, are the ones who are giving yourselves to this shared ministry in this place and community, we invite you to respond to each other in our hearing.
I believe that you, the congregation of First Baptist Church, are the people among whom I intended by God to live, to serve as your pastor and to share with you in ministry. It is in this belief that I have accepted the call to your fellowship, and it is in this belief that I now affirm my acceptance of your invitation.
We ask you, Pastor Peter, to give us some assurance before you become Pastor among us. Will you give yourself by the strength and grace of Jesus Christ our Lord to the sensitive needs and possibilities of all our people, young and old, single and families, those
To all these questions I affirm, the Lord being my helper, I will endeavor to do all these things. Now I would ask of you some assurance. Do you understand yourself to be sharing Christ's ministry with me in the fellowship of this church? Will you be sensitive to my needs, to seek to minister to me as well as with me? Will you assure me of your prayers, your confidence, your encouragement, and your patience? Finally, you commit yourselves willingly to the task which will give shape and energy to our ministry in this place. And I accept you, the people of this church, as people of Christian commitment and God-given skills. I accept you as the people of God, as called me to serve and as co-workers in our ministry together.
We who are here have witnessed the promises you have made to each other. As an expression of our support, to declare our joy and confidence in your coming together and commit ourselves to you in the ministry we share, we stand with you. And I'm going to ask the rest of you who are here to stand together as a sign of our support and commitment. Pastor Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, on behalf of the Heartland area of Canadian Baptist Churches of Western Canada, and with the authority vested in me by this church, I declare you to be duly inducted and appointed Associate Pastor of Afrikaans and Seniors Ministry in the church and congregation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders and the staff of this church to come and stand with me and surround Pastor Peter and Brina as we offer a prayer together. You can imagine moving from South Africa to Prince Albert has all kinds of adjustments. And Peter was telling me in the foyer before that this is one of the coldest days they could experience in South Africa. We know different up here. As somebody who's grown up in the West Coast, I love the prairies, I love winter. Peter, when it gets cold, the sun shines. And it shines brightly. But we know that ministry has its ups and downs. There will be adjustments. And we know that there's no question about the commitment that Peter and Brina bring to their ministry among you. There's no question about your commitment to them. But if you've lived a day following God, you know oftentimes our best intentions are not enough. We need his Spirit to empower us. And so we're going to pray for Peter and Brina in a particular way as they minister among you, that God would give them what they need to love him faithfully and love him deeply and to love you faithfully and deeply, and that you would be able to do the same in return. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your leading in the life of this congregation and your leading in the life of this couple, Peter and Brina. Father, we thank you for the many years of blessing that you have had your hand on them as they have ministered in South Africa. Father, we thank you for their willingness to respond to your call in obedience, no matter how far out it seems and how much it's cost them personally to make the move from South Africa to here. Father, that's a sign of their willingness to continue to serve you wherever you call them to serve. And Father, the exchange of commitments that we have observed today, that many have participated in, Father, are indication that this is not an act of coincidence. This is an act of your will, an act of your Spirit's leading. Father, we know that there's been risk involved for Peter and Brina as they have made this move. There's risk on the part of this congregation as they've stepped out in a new area of ministry. And God, we know that your hand of blessing is already on this ministry as we hear stories of how you are using Peter and Brina to touch people, not only in this community, but around our province. And for that, we give you praise and we give you thanks. Father, we thank you for the unique gifts that you've given Peter and Brina and for how their gifts will strengthen this body here. Thank you for the way you continue to build a pastoral team in this congregation and for how Peter will bring experience and wisdom and discernment and gifts to that. Father, we pray that you would also build him up as he interacts with the rest of the staff here, the leadership, the elders of this church. Father, we pray for people in this congregation as they've stood and they have said that they're committed to not only receive from Peter and Brina, but to give back to them. Father, we pray that the commitments that have been exchanged today would be energized and empowered by the work of your Spirit in Peter and Brina and also in the people of this congregation. Father, we don't for one minute question the intentions, but we know that we cannot do your ministry, we cannot follow your call apart from the work of your Spirit in our lives each and every moment of each and every day. And so, Father, I just pray a blessing and an outpouring of your Spirit on Peter and Brina as they do ministry and on this congregation as they seek to live together in a way that would honor you, honor each other, and demonstrate to the people who they come in contact with something of your love and your grace. Father, we believe that this is your appointment and your call, and we stand together affirming that. Father, as winter sets in, and it's going to get cold here, Father, we pray that the warmth of your Spirit's love would warm those cold days, that there would be ministry joys that would make the snow and the cold not seem so bad. And that the light of the sun that shines every day here, most every day, that it would be the light of your Son Jesus shining on Peter and Brina, energizing them as they serve, and that as they serve, that they would be refreshed in deep and meaningful ways. Father, this is a day to celebrate your goodness, your leading, and the gift of Peter and Brina to this congregation, the gift of this congregation to them, the gift of this group of people, this community of faith, to the city of Prince Albert and the surrounding area. Father, we pray that together we would be faithful to live out your call in a way that truly does build your kingdom, not ours. We pray it in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.